Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens. Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.
No.
So, Alex, you didn't even see if Alex wound up for that one. That was impressive.
The fact
Alex.
That we're on film is upsetting because now you two are just like hamming it up in a way that's unfortunate.
In a way that only the $20 tier and above can see.
This is what you've paid for. Are you happy?
Dude, I'm happy. You know why? Because it's like the first Minnesota forever. I'm not talking about the hearings, the UAP stuff. I'm bringing classic videos of the skunk ape scene in Florida and a triangle UFO hovering over somebody's fucking yard.
I bet that
yard.
Skunk ape was just a man.
The Chuminati's back.
Hey, baby. It's a return to form. Anyway, I'm going to send you the first link. This is the skunk ape. It was caught on somebody's trail cam, so it's a still image. It's not like a moving thing. Take a look at this skunk ape. This is in Florida. This is comes out of a trail cam in Florida.
At 110? There it is.
Yeah, okay. Just click on it. You're going to see the picture right there.
I mean, that looks like a fucking monkey to me, man. Like, right? I mean, that's a monkey-ass monkey to me.
Yeah, no, it's going to be one of those things where, like...
The zoo lost, a monkey a while back?
No, it's going to be one of those things where... You know how sometimes you see an animal at an angle, and the animal looks like something else? It's going to be one of those things where it's like a cat licking its butt.
No, look at
but
the face on that.
It's blurry on camera. How do you know that's a face? How do you know that's not a
paw? That's got ears, bro.
Paw. How do you know that's not a paw?
I'm going to say that's definitely a face.
How do you know it's not a paw?
With a big old fucking ear there. Yeah, that's a
face. The human brain is making you think that.
I don't know, man.
Come on, bro.
How do you know it's not a paw?
That was just an appetizer.
Why is it a little bit see-through?
Here's the real dinner.
That's the real questions.
Why is it a little see-through? There you go. This is a triangle UAP hovering over somebody's yard. You know it's real because they're filming in vertical, so that's real fun. But you can watch this thing. It's three lights that are moving kind of in sync with each other, rotating, hovering. It's really not... It doesn't look like it's a full triangle craft as much as it's like three things moving in triangle formation.
Right.
I can't even tell. So that's what, there you go. There's your UFO sighting. The guy's just filming it from inside his house through the window. And they just kind of move. And that's it. There you go.
My favorite part of this is the comments are like, bro, that's way too big to be real.
The comments are
so good.
Far too
big.
They're
like, that's not even. I guess the guy says triangle UFO TR-38B spotted. And all these are like, bro, TR-33B don't even look like that. Like, they just know. Like, no, dude, that's stupid.
You know, you can always find the professionals in the comments of YouTube.
Oh, trust me, bro. I remote viewed that shit, bro. I've seen the real shit. I honestly, it doesn't. It's not that bad of a footage. I gotta say, yeah. like here's
I don't know
the thing.
What it is, like, but like, it's pretty not grainy, and like, it's yeah.
It's the same thing that I'm always saying. It's the same thing that I'm always saying about this stuff, right? Like, we watched Grush, we watched Matt Gaetz come and talk, and we watched Jamie Raskin come and talk. Like, the two most polar opposite in
AOC
terms of public
as well
opinion
came in on that. Was
yeah,
there
another one, another super high
like,
profile
about
yeah.
it. Yeah,
and
wild.
And I just ask you, I just want you to entertain the concept, like, if it's true, if what's happening is true, what would be different about what we saw than what we got, if it was true?
Wait, what? What? What?
Like, what we saw at the hearing.
I might be, like, too stoned. I don't understand the question.
If we know for sure that aliens are real.
Yes.
And we saw that hearing. And, yeah. and the hearing happens. What would have to be different in the hearing that we saw if aliens were real? Nothing, right? It's just exactly the same thing. Like,
yeah,
if aliens are real, that's the hearing that you'd get, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
To me,
as far as I'm concerned, because there's a lot of like, well, and then the skiff hearing, well, you know, you'll get more, and the skiff hearing, you're gonna get more. Yeah. So
yeah, and hopefully that pays off in September. But in the case of these things, like, what would a real picture of a skunk ape look like? What would a real alien look like? I feel like it would still look like a shitty fake version. You know what I mean? Like, I
mean, that's actually like a conversation people have all the time, because people are like, where's the clear videos and pictures of UFOs? But take your phone out and try and take a picture of an airplane that's just passing over your house. And let me see how clear that shit is for, please. Because at night, just the way the lens takes it in and the processor deals with light, you're not going to get like a fucking, unless you're using a telescopic lens on an iPhone, you're not going to get it. And yeah, you're going
to even
push
just
your
try and take a picture of someone on the street.
Jesse.
I will.
Go in a nightclub and take a picture of someone. Just try. You know, like it just looks whack.
In one once.
Go to a discoteca.
Like the kids do on Beverly. You know what? I'm going to take you to a nightclub when you're in LA next time, Mathis. No, I'm not.
Oh, God.
I'm too old. I don't want
to
go.
I'll take you to a swingers club, Mathis.
No, yeah, God, dude, no. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Thank you.
And I'm going to, it's just me, you and me, and I'm gonna like, pimp you out all the old widowers.
Are we making money then? Are we, like, going to walk
just
away
just
with
making
profit?
Money.
Oh.
It's just Jesse and Mathis handing each other the keys.
This isn't a Truluminati LLC, like, you know.
Sanctioned
event. N-A-U-G-H-T-Y, baby.
Oh, good Lord.
Hey, NAU.GHTY, bro.
Like, at least, like, do me the risk. How much are you charging? Like, how much am I worth to an individual?
You don't
want to
know. It's cheap. It's cheap.
It's cheap.
Everything
so you're
about
just
him
doing
must
it for
go.
The fun, then. It's not, you know, it's not even for, like, the profit. It's just like, let's just get this over with.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so good.
All right. Well,
it's really about charity.
My LA,
really.
My trip is getting busier and busier.
Oh, yes, hey. It is.
By the way, speaking of wacko conspiracies and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you all are aware of the Yellowstone caldera supervolcano, yes?
The Yellowstone? Yeah, I know all about it.
Isn't the, like, everybody's fear of the exploding completely unfounded because of the way its heat is distributed?
So, yeah, it's this volcanic caldera and supervolcano in the Wyoming Yellowstone National Park. And it is the largest, one of the largest, it's not the largest, one of the largest volcanoes in the world. It's erupted, I think, 3 times in the past 2 million years. And as Mathis was saying, it's one of those things you see in headlines and articles and YouTube videos all the time about, like, you know, like Facebook posts that it's like, it should have erupted already. It's the next cycle is happening soon and
we're
overdue. Due. And we're all doomed. Well, a team of researchers from the University of Utah, New Mexico University, and the Institute of Earth Sciences in Taiwan in 2020 deployed 650 temporary seismometers that are like the expensive-ass kind in Yellowstone to measure seismic waves speeds at the like a subsurface caldera magma chamber level.
Seismometers.
This massive deployment resulted in the best picture ever seen of the magma chamber down there.
Cool.
And spoilers, hey, guess what?
Is there not a lot down there?
There's more than they originally thought, but less, much less so than would ever even remotely cause an explosion
okay,
or an eruption. Like, I think they said it was 28% more than they assumed, but like, it's such a big chamber that it's like, not, they're like, don't worry, that literally means nothing in the grand scheme of things. We just now have a more accurate idea of what it's like. And this is a direct quote, and I think this is amazing. The key to identifying reliable scientific information begins with looking for information provided by experts in the field that are properly sourced, not through social media posts that rely on their publications for a revenue stream, Mike Poland, scientist in charge, said. If people stop watching this content, it means less income. In attempts to keep revenue flowing, salacious headlines are used to draw folks in. When misinformation is published, it can take a long time for scientists to correct the publication, the public's misconceptions. I spend a tremendous amount of my time fighting this kind of misinformation.
I know the
vibes. I get a lot of questions from people like, why aren't you reporting this? He said. I love when scientists get pissed. They're like, we literally just did a study where it's not a problem, and I guarantee people are going to be like, dude, the volcano's gonna explode. He's like, and what's crazy is when you Google this, if you Google Yellowstone Caldera Supervolcano or whatever, a lot of the Google questions that it shows up on that list are like, how far do you have to be away from the explosion? How big will the explosion be?
How big will it be? Yeah, like, come on, dude. Who are you asking? The experts?
The survivalists in their bunkers.
Like, who are you asking? Like, the people that just said, don't worry about it? That's who you're asking?
Yeah. So but of course this comes down to like, well, of course they would. They have to keep the public docile for when the super explosion happens, we all die. It's like, come on, no. Even if it did happen, the explosion wouldn't be super. It would be, there would be a lava flow and there would be a lot of debris and stuff, but it'd be like 40, 50 miles, which luckily in Wyoming, there isn't like a ton of people around. It's like, it would be crazy if it happened, but it wouldn't be like world ending. And people are still just like, It's the biggest. We all die. Like, no, that's not how it works.
I'm much more worried about California than I am about Wyoming, like, in terms of, like, things that might actually happen. You know? Us going off into the sea or whatever.
Okay. I'm more worried about the desert that's left behind falling off into the sea. We'll be long dead from all the terrible things that could happen
to
California.
We'll choke to death long ago by the clouds of gas that will be released.
I'll be cooking
from
alive on the Texas surface of like 118 degrees every day.
Don't forget
for the
about
next
the 46,000-year-old worm babies that are coming after us.
Oh, man, that was going to be another thing I brought up. But yeah, that 46,000-year-old worm is having babies, so that'll probably be fine.
So, you know, get worried, but don't do anything.
Not all the way worried. I mean, the worms could be like the worms in Baldur's Gate 3, which would be pretty fucking cool.
Can you guys tell that Mathis has been playing Baldur's Gate 3?
Yeah, and that he likes it? Yeah, it's crazy.
I can't stop thinking about it. Help.
Is the date up? Are you able to break...
Well, this is live.
I mean, yeah, this is live. Will? It'll be completely... Yeah, I can talk about it, but I don't want
to
spoil anything
say.
For you.
Okay, all right, fine.
But
that's
if you have
fair.
A question,
I mean,
I'll
thumbs up
about.
Or thumbs up.
Oh,
thumbs
way
down.
thumbs up. And if you're an old Baldur's Gate of like 1 and 2 plant fan, play the Dark Urge background. It's kind of like
the Dark Urge.
It's for
Dude,
you.
That's my problem. I got a Dark Urge.
Oh,
my Dark
too.
Urge is that I need to eat in and out double doubles as much as I can. that's my Dark Urge. But another dark urge of mine is talking about rocks with magic powers. And today I actually have something a little bit different for you guys. Chronicles of Meonia, starring Giuseppe, is taking a break today because there's a development that occurred today, August 2nd, as I was researching this morning, showed up in my YouTube tab. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Graham Phillips, who is a character in my ongoing story of these stones, he's a real guy and he is out and about and he doesn't post very frequently. He was posting around the time that I last did episodes on the Greenstone, and I'm not saying I had anything to do with this directly. I'm not going to claim responsibility for it, but it certainly is strange that his channel perked right back up around the time that I started doing Greenstone episodes again. Just saying.
We have influence. We have power now.
But a couple weeks ago on the channel, about 3 weeks ago on July 9th, he posted a video, which is a trailer, which is hilarious, for his new book, which is called Strange Fate, A True Story of Paranormal Discovery. And I'm just going to give you, this is for Jesse, this is a little quote for you to read. This is like the back of the book for his new book, Strange Fate, which he's writing with Jody Russell. Just Let's so you go. Know, that these psychic adventures are still happening. And then
he
I'll get to the thing
us.
I want to share.
Do you think he hates me?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like
you think he just hates me.
I genuinely would love to talk to Graham Phillips. I would love to like interview him and just get his point of view. Like, I would love to know if he's really on board and into it, or if he's like, no, I'm just doing it for fun. I would love to know.
If I could get my hands on one of those green stones, I'm down. I'd be like, that I would might love be the to closest see them. To Power Ranger I ever get.
I would love to see the stones. I would love to see the sword. Next time I'm in the UK, I gotta go. It was so close to Telford. I had no idea.
Oh, man.
It was like 15 minutes away. We were there. We were right there.
All right, here we go. Graham Phillips and Jody Russell search for an ancient artifact called the Heart of the Rose. Hidden for over 100 years, it is said to have the power to influence fate. Led by weird visions, enigmatic guides, and a series of bizarre coincidences, they must solve the mystery of strange temples on the estate of a Victorian mansion. Follow a trail of cryptic clues left in old paintings and uncover the incredible history of a 19th century secret society to find the relic before time runs out. Although it defies belief, this extraordinary account is based entirely on actual events.
Yes.
As we learned earlier, though, saying it's based on something doesn't mean it's
If you guys want to watch this trailer, it's right here. It's Strange Fate, a true story of paranormal discovery. But that is not why we're here today. Today we're here to talk about, so since he posted this, he posted something called The Alice Ghost that's 11 minutes long that I believe to be from Strange Fate 3 weeks ago. He also posted a video called Biddulph Grange, if you remember, from our episode that I recently went into about Biddulph Grange, the sort of like Egyptian temple area that's inside of a Victorian mansion. We went over this, right? You guys remember this slightly with the like sort of ancient Egyptian imagery, inexplicably in the English countryside.
Yep, we got.
So he did a video about that 3 weeks ago. Then about 7 days ago, he did another clip that's 6 minutes long. That's about another thing called The Mystery of Doggerland by Graham Phillips. I don't know if that's in his same psychic adventuring series or not, but today, 19 hours ago, I just clicked on it and gave it its 100th view.
Incredible.
It's a clip that's 12 seconds long that is called Ghost or Time Traveler, okay?
Yes.
And this is from today. Graham Phillips in the Egyptian temple at Biddulph Grange, Staffordshire, England, when what appears to be the image of a woman in Victorian clothes appears on film, okay?
Okay.
So this is actual physical evidence of paranormal activity from Graham Phillip himself, the leader of the Order of Meonia. Okay?
Please, let's go. Show me this clip.
I want it. Yeah, give it to me.
Here is the clip. Let's go. Okay. 12 seconds.
Yep, watching it. That's Graham walking around in the dark. Okay, so basically for the video, it's so fucking dark that you can barely see him in the first 3 seconds. He walks into what is a door or an archway. When he goes in there, there's a good chunk of time where you just no longer can see him. And then at one point, right at the very end, after like 3 or 4 seconds of him being non-visible, something that looks like a person's chest, maybe with a hand and a face, like seems to turn in the direction of where he walked. But I'm not convinced that's just not him. Like
something fades in, and it looks like, you know, if you ever had to imagine a Victorian woman in like a white top with like the short cut sleeves and the
that's kind of what I'm seeing.
Yeah, like the one that's you would always think of like is the Victorian, like even like school teacher look, right? She like, the best way to describe it is it's the same quality as if you remember those old games, Seventh Guest or 11th Hour. It's the
exact
same FMV, like 420p. Like, it's just,
hey, 420p
not
is a good, that's solid. It looks kind of like one of those old, like, medium style ghosts, like the ectoplasmic sort of like formations that occur. If you know what I'm talking about, like when you see those photographs of like a seance and there's like this, like, human form inside of white fabric. I kind of see that. So that's kind of what I what
the
I
biggest
say.
The biggest problem with the entire thing, no matter what it is if you go to 8 seconds and press play, there is a clear either color shift or cut before she fades.
Dude, I've been watching that on repeat right now for like the past 30 seconds as well.
There's clearly an artifact happening where there's a color shift. Something's wrong with it.
In my opinion, it's unclear whether that's just the sensor changing because of the light or a cut. But I don't know.
But, I mean, it clearly looks like a cut because there's part of the, like, you can see.
It moves.
Yeah. Like
from up, you can see the midline, and then it jumps like a good 2 inches lower when it cuts, if that's what you're seeing, because that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, no, there's a part in the top corner as well where there's this light bit that's fading out, and then it cuts to the point where that light bit is now in the center a little bit. It's, I don't know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of discrepancies with this. The image of what it is,
videos, okay?
Like, if you pause, it looks exactly like you would imagine a, you know, like, Victorian high society lady would look like.
Man, yeah, I definitely see a person. I don't know if I see any details that would point to high society lady to me.
I mean, I don't know about high society, but Victorian lady for sure.
It's
that Victorian shirt where it's white, puffy shoulders, thin arms.
I do invite you as listeners to go check this video out.
I just dropped it in the ghost section of our Discord. So if patrons can go pop that right now.
Shine some light on this man. Do me a favor though. Be kind to this man.
Oh yeah, 100%. He's not out to like fuck you over.
I would not have done so much work covering this man's paranormal experiences if I knew that somebody would go and try and bully him or ruin his life. Okay,
we are not about that. We don't.
I really would love for you guys to just be respectful and just watch the clip and talk about it on Discord rather than, you know, giving him some kind of weird shit or something like that, because that is not my intent.
Correct. So
I thought that you guys would appreciate this weird little side plot of the Order of Meonia this week.
I love it.
And obviously JFK was a bit hefty, so I didn't have a long amount of time to go deep into the mystery of the Tower Hotel just yet, but that'll be back next week. If you want to catch up on the Chronicles of Meonia, which is going in through the minisodes right now, check out episode 133 of the minisodes to get started and just follow along from there. There's one or two that skip it, I think, which have guests. But every time we're all here, pretty much, we're going to talk about it until it's done. So
It gets better and better. It's a crazy fucking story, that's for sure.
You guys literally cheered at what happened last time.
It was a wild turn. I loved it.
Yeah.
All right. So
thank you guys again.
Patreon.com/SimulatePod. I love you guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's TRYMEOW. You just cover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode 146, I think.
Still creepy. Trapeze.
That's you, boys. The trapeze.
Trapeze. Still so creepy.
Welcome. Minisode 146. Let's get this. I got the Fey Room to go save, boys. So let's get this done, all right?
You have Baldur's Gate. Baldur's Gate. He has to get it done. On this.
I need to either get burnt out on it or I need to beat it. One or the other has to happen.
It's so crazy. Like, just the other day, this guy was like, ride or die, the UFO hearings and all this stuff. And then now it's like dormant for a little while.
You want to know? So quick two updates on that. Well, one, we're in summer recess right now for Congress and shit. So like, nobody's talking. Yep. Did you see someone within the fucking Pentagon or in the military leaked Grush's personal medical file? His meta, yeah. And all it really shows is he's fights with PTSD from being in the army, and it's like, why? Why are you trying to besmirch this man's name?
It's a shot across his bow.
If he's just lying about it, why are you leaking shit about his personal background? It's like, it just makes him look more credible. Unless it came out with like he was schizophrenia, like then I'd be like, okay, well maybe we should talk about whether this guy's being honest or not.
Stupid, stupid question, Mathis.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Wag the Dog?
No.
You have not seen it.
Mm-mm.
We got to do Wag the Dog on our show.
The other update was they got denied their SCIF meeting.
Yes.
They went up, they put it forward, they asked for it, and they were denied.
So what does that mean?
That means they don't get to go behind closed doors.
Exactly.
And give them the information that they want to get.
Well, I mean, what does it mean in the larger sense? Like, what does that mean? What's happening? What's happening
Why?
Here?
Why? That's are we, what, like, yeah, yeah. It's bizarre. It's bizarre.
And I now guess the question like, is, Anonymous who does
jumped
oversight?
In today and says they're going to try and find out who leaked the medical records and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
But like, who's doing oversight? Like it does. Like all that's fine. But if you're like, we want that information, we want to go to the SCIF meeting, and then they're like, no, then how is that oversight? Like I don't
understand.
Welcome
to our politics. What? One man in the Senate is preventing military appointments because he's like, no, I don't want to.
It's just, again, is another one of the many problems with the government that like isn't it supposed to be a government of the people, and our representatives should be able to like find information, right? Even if it's a nothing burger, certainly they should have
that's
the right to be like,
why
we want to know.
That's compelling.
That's exactly,
I
mean,
it's compelling.
We're a country of the military industrial complex. That's what runs the fucking country. So it's frustrating. Yeah, we get all these things and then they put in for it, all go through the right channels, and then they get denied. So we'll see what if these whistleblowers that are apparently about to come forward in the next couple months, we'll see if it happens. Apparently they had 40 whistleblowers lined up to appear in front of Congress. It's crazy. Fucking insane that they just did. Anyway, fuck it. That's not what I'm here for. Boys, I'm here to tell you about, it's not video games they have to worry about or movies they have to worry about making people violent. It's that they could influence the kids to want to become superheroes. Because a boy, a Bolivian boy, hoping to become Spider-Man, decided to let a black widow bite him.
Huh.
It's unfortunate. And 8-year-old boy is lucky to be alive after he allowed a black widow to bite him in the hopes of becoming Spider-Man, according to a local media report. The ill-advised attempt at acquiring superpowers occurred late last month in the town of Vikulima. While playing outside one afternoon, the youngster stumbled upon a black widow under a rock, and recalling Spider-Man's iconic origin, the boy proceeded to place the venomous arachnid on his hand and agitated it until it eventually bit him. And after being struck by the spider, the obvious aspiring superhero captured the creature in a jar and headed home to wait for his web-slinging abilities.
That is a bummer. That is a bummer. That's like if there was an actual Spider-Man issue about this, it would make Peter Parker like go on the rooftop with his mask off and wonder if he should still be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's how fucked up this is.
Don't worry, the boy didn't die. That doesn't end sadly in that way. 3 hours later, he began experiencing extreme muscle contractions and felt intense pain throughout his body. And although he initially attempted to keep his worsening condition a secret, his mom eventually noticed and he was in distress, and they went to the doctors and they got to a local hospital. They administered the antidote and they subsided within around 30 minutes and he's back to...
God damn.
That's when they learned his explanation as to how he got bit.
But this isn't really anything new. This is like when those kids jumped off buildings because they thought they were Superman or whatever.
That's just that, like, the thing that bums me out about it is that it's used as like political fodder like so rapidly.
Oh,
like,
sure.
And I know we're just joking about
I'm joking, right now.
But it does happen. Stuff like this happens where somebody gets confused, somebody makes a mistake, and then they're like, we should destroy all art. and it's I just watched the whole thing about the Comics Code, so I'm fired up. But give it a goog.
The last thing I wanted to bring up as well is speaking of aliens, at the end of when we talked about the Grush stuff, I said like just be ready. People are gonna start doing like way more hoaxes out there. And one kind of took the internet by storm last week. Apparently there was a Peruvian village was being harassed by aliens, and they saw them in the woods, and they were like all kind of like they weren't real. What they were, unfortunately, was a bunch of local miners the dressing up like aliens to antagonize the village.
Just being sure. Sus. Yeah.
Yeah, literally. An official reportedly indicated that the visitors were actually a group of individuals who were illegally mining for gold in the nearby jungle. And amazingly, lest one think that the accounts of levitating aliens were a case of mass hysteria, this is Coast to Coast, by the way, were simply made up out of whole cloth. He explained that the gang actually used jetpacks to make it appear as if the beings were not bound by the laws of gravity. And the purpose of the elaborate production was to convince the villagers that aliens or supernatural beings had overtaken the jungle so that they fearfully avoided the area while the illegal mining operation was underway.
That is the dumbest fucking plan that I've ever heard. As if that wouldn't draw the attention of every single person with a cell phone in the entire area.
Has proved to be the case. Yeah. So, you know, keep your eye out, because that shit's all over the place. That's a wild story.
People don't think, dude. Like, sometimes they're just...
For a good week, everybody was buying this fucking story without looking any further. Takes, like, a week for it to the reality.
Imagine
to
you're
out.
Illegally mining for gold, and you're like, you know what we should fucking do, bro? You know what we should fucking do? We should fucking hoax aliens so that nobody ever comes around here again.
Isn't that the plot of a movie? It's not aliens, but it's like a monster. But it's like our illegal operation, and the monster is like something we made to keep people. I'm telling you, they just saw some movie like on like HBO. And we're like, oh, that's a good idea.
I hear that. Goonies.
It is kind of like a Fratelli situation.
Yeah.
Fun little stories today. That's all I got for you. So
delightful. Thank you. What you got, Jesse?
Well, hi. I'm gonna take us away from aliens and more towards threats of a different nature. Ooh. So and you might think when I say this, a new AI system, you're probably like, AI, that's not the threat. This time it's helpful. A new AI system is being worked on that can warn us all about the emergence of new dangerous virus variants and future pandemics. According to a study by scientists from Scripps Research and Northwestern University here in the U.S., this system is called the Early Warning Anomaly Detection System, or EWAD, and it uses machine learning to analyze the genetic sequences, frequencies, and mortality rates of virus variants as they spread across the world. And the best part is that, we have one to test it on right now, right? And so they're getting a lot of information, and they're getting a lot of stuff about COVID-19. And they found that it can accurately predict variants of concern, which they're called VOCs, and whether they would mutate and where mutations would arise. And the system could basically estimate how public health measures such as vaccines and wearing masks and stuff would
affect.
It's
like Cerebro shit. Like
straight
up.
It's very, very cool. And so the study published in the journal Cell Patterns shows that EWAD would help, prepare and help us respond to future outbreaks by identifying potentially where they would pop up and when. And you can tell the WHO, which I'm sure there's someone listening right now, it's like, the WHO, they're trying to kill us or something. But essentially, the AI system uses a mathematical technique called, and boy, I hope I said this right, the Gaussian process. And it is essentially I thought it was Gaussian, but like a Gauss gun, but no, it's Gaussian according to some dude on the internet who did a video about it. I think you're right. But it basically it is used to predict existing data and like relationships and predict new things. So like a great real world example, just to like sum it up so it makes sense to people, is you could use this process to show the probability density for an NBA player's height in centimeters. And then you could also use it to indicate the likelihood a NBA player would be a certain height on that various chain of heights on that graph. And so you could kind of do that. And so what they're doing here is they're using it to detect patterns and various, rules for virus evolution that, once you sift through the immense amount of data, now you have sort of real information. And researchers say, Researchers say that the system could also help us understand, you know, the basic biology of viruses and how they adapt in different environments and what treatments work better for them and prevention strategies and all that stuff. It's one of those things where it's AI not trying to murder us, but AI trying to save us. And so it's nice to have that to look forward to in the future.
Very, very interesting. Very, very, like, futuristic. Like, I remember there's a Columbo episode where Robbie the Robot's on there, and they're, like, predicting, like, geopolitical situations using, like, the robot algorithm. Same exact concept, just, but now it's real. It's awesome.
The smart, fun thing about this is that the difference between the two is when you look at a virus, right? A virus is a virus and it has rules. One thing a virus doesn't have is emotions. And when you look at geopolitical politics, the biggest problem with those things, because I follow that shit like crazy. I love that stuff. Where they have predictive tools. The biggest problem is no matter what you do, whether you're doing like a tit for tat or a one up, whatever the geopolitical thing is, at the end of the day, human emotion is never accounted for. And sometimes people act insane and they make choices that a computer would be like, no one's ever going to make this choice.
That's basically what Columbo said, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, Columbo knew what's up. I mean, that's, yeah, at the end of the day, it can't. But with a virus gonna virus, right? You're gonna try to predict
mutations.
They're kind
of like computer programs in and of themselves.
It's like an app, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. By the way, I don't know if this is true. I don't know how much of this is real, but I read an article, and I can't find it right now because I clearly forgot. I'll look it up for next time. A dude gave a presentation recently where he was like looking at string theory. And the string theory he discovered was ones and zeros. And his thing is like, we're actually in the Matrix.
Bro,
like reality is computer code.
That's too heavy.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Like the idea that reality is some sort of illusion in a way that it's the closest word we could probably use for it. I mean, that's a very common. The more we learn about quantum mechanics and shit, the more I'm like, oh, okay.
It's too scary.
It's like string theories, ones and zeros, and we are all in the Matrix. And I was like, well, that's the case.
It's just as scary as aliens being real. It's just as scary.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where at the end of the day, like, I can't do shit about that, so why do I even care?
No, unless I can break the Matrix and be a superhero like Neo.
I don't want that. I want a cipher.
I do.
I want the alien Matrix robots to give me a stake and make me famous. Yeah. I don't want that shit.
I mean, I'm not. Okay, well, if they come and approach me with, like, a cool fucking, yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, oh, I'd sell out humanity so quickly.
Just make my podcast successful and I'm in. I'll stay. I'm not going anywhere.
They'd be like, we already have.
Oh, fuck! Reset.
We're sitting on top of the building from Independence Day and the fucking laser comes down, blasts us. Anyway, speaking of things blasting down from space, welcome back to Giuseppe La Rosa and the Order of Meonia. We took a break to deal with a...
Giuseppe.
We took a break to deal with a ghost sighting last week by Graham Phillips, the star of the story. But today we're
like,
back.
Yeah, we had like that little like the movie in between the phases, you know.
It was like a like Moon Knight came out for a hot second. And now we're back on the main shit. This is called The Mystery of the Tower Hotel Part 2: The End. It's a continuation from the story of the previous minisode, based mostly on the book Chronicles of Meonia by Giuseppe La Rosa. So if you want the whole thing, go back and start in minisode 133. This has now been going on for some time. Last time, our man Joe finally stepped up to the plate. We found out the reason he's never there might have to do with his desire to be a good husband. But now he's finally pulled the trigger, and in order to defeat the personal test set out for him as part of the larger stone-related quest that they're all on together, Joe and his wife Eileen are now in Keswick trying to solve the mystery of the Tower Hotel, whatever that means. They walk in and they meet one of the owners behind the desk, Miss Hudeberg, who actually tells them that her husband has been researching the Tower Hotel since they bought it. And when they do meet the husband, Mr. Hudeberg, he sadly doesn't have anything cool to say, like there used to be a secret society that met here. He had nothing to say like that, just some unrelated anecdotes. But he does reveal that the place is called the Tower Hotel because it actually used to have a tower as part of it, but that it was dismantled a long time ago. And now you can only see it in a painting that's at a museum nearby. So they go to the museum and they find the picture of the tower. And still, Joe can't get the idea that people used to meet there and have secret society meetings out of his head. So when they get back to the hotel and Mr. Hudeberg hands him a folder of research that he's done and the address to the house of the previous owner's son, whose name is Harry Denwood, they immediately go and interview Harry Denwood. But sadly, Harry Denwood didn't have anything exciting to say either. Had no memory of any sort of secret society or anything like that. But it seemed like they did have a good time chatting, so there's that. And Eileen did make a note that there was also a section on the Denwoods and Mr. Hudeberg's files, so they looked at that. And as it turns out, Harry's father, John Denwood, had bought the place in 1931. He went to America in the early 1900s and got into the film exhibition industry. Came back to England in 1912 with the knowledge to open Keswick's first movie theater. Which I guess is where he got the money to buy the hotel, which at the time he bought it was actually being used as a boys' college. So it's a pretty big hotel. But before that, though, in its more towery days, it was originally known as the Towers, and it was built as the private residence of a powerful man called John Grave, who was instrumental in bringing water to 19th century Manchester via a dam and aqueduct system that he had going, that just got going right when he died. Yeah, he was like a mover. You know what I mean? He was like a mover and shaker. Joe LaRosa, Giuseppe, our boy, had been set on the idea that John Grave was somehow connected to Mary Heath's Fire Phoenix group, which is the group from Biddulph Grange, the like Egypt temple thing in England. But Eileen, in the interest of like honesty and thoroughness, does not like this idea at all, saying, quote, "You have no proof, only your theory. There is no shred of evidence to link Grave or the hotel to the Meonia group." And, you know, even Joe has to admit this is true. But to be honest, his pride seemed a little wounded by his wife's bluntness, because a little bit later, when Joe doubled down on the idea that if Grave wasn't connected, then Denwood's probably was, since Margaret's handwriting was on the card that he got with the hotel writing on it that said Denwood in the beginning. And they got into a like heated couples argument about it. And luckily for you guys, we have the whole text of that argument here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really realistic, natural-sounding dialogue, so I expect you guys to sell it as such. So, Jesse, you're going to be Eileen, and Mathis, you're going to be Joe. Ready?
Well, she might have been there and picked up hotel card, but it does not mean there was any fine business going on at the hotel.
Yes, I know.
Maybe there's something that you overlooked. It's possible that there is a mystery. It's so obvious that you can't see it for looking.
I'm sticking to my theory. That's the only thing I can come up with other than unless other information turns up to prove me wrong.
I'm always trying to help, love.
I'm sorry. It's just that I don't want to fail the test. That's all.
Oh, I understand. But now is time, it is time to forget the test until we get home. Let's enjoy the rest of the time that we have left here.
I agree.
And so the days went on.
Now come and smooch me, baby.
No, I disagree.
Smooch me,
I'm
baby.
Leaving. I'm going to test my theory, ma'am. I'm going to test my theory elsewhere.
Come here, snug me a little bit. Touch my
toes. I'd rather you not. I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Let me see your torch, big boy.
See you later.
Big boy.
And so the days went on, and they finished their trip. But Joe was feeling down on himself, maybe because it didn't go the way he wanted, getting his wife involved. Didn't get her involved in the whole situation like he thought it would, but also because he never figured out what the mystery was. And by the time Judgment Day came, he was pretty stressed out. And when he got there, it turned out that the reason they were being tested was to see who could cross the Devil's Bridge in Wales to get to the resting place of Excalibur, which is pretty crazy. I didn't know that was involved. But things weren't done getting bad for little Giuseppe, as the dialogue from this short conversation that Terry, Graham, and Joe had before the meeting will show. This time, Jesse's going to be both Terry and Graham, but Mathis is still Joe.
Okay. All right.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Here we go. Get ready for this shit.
I'm here. I'm ready.
This is the big leagues.
We tried to get hold of you in the last night, Joe, but unfortunately, you were working. We were informed that you had to pass your test in one respect, but you failed because you were not there personally.
But I was working. You know I always try and be here when required, and I understood today was the day.
You should have felt intuitively that you were needed, just as you have in the past.
What does that mean for me?
I don't know which character I am here.
You're just still Graham now.
Don't worry. We all failed in our tests apart from Janet. She's the only one who can cross the bridge to obtain the sword.
How convenient. No other witnesses.
Exactly. By the way, we never hear what Janet's test is in this book, but the idea of going out to Wales alone in the dead of night to cross a bridge to Excalibur was too scary for Janet to consider doing alone.
Too spooky.
Yeah. So at the end of this Empire Strikes Back-esque interlude, we finish on a low note, which with a bunch of heroes who all failed their tests. It's an anti-climax, and the solemn promise that whatever comes next is going to be even crazier, and it's going to be continued when the next arc begins on the next minisode with the beginning of the next exciting phase, Seven Rings of the Wraiths.
Oh my, we are officially in phase four now. If we go into the Shang-Chi
it's
era.
It's time for the Seven Rings of the Wraiths.
Lord of the Rings a little bit. Yeah, I mean,
we're getting far.
No, dude, that was
book,
nine.
Though.
It's clearly different.
Yeah, that's the nine Nazgul.
Can we just play? Okay, I know we're playing in like D&D world, but can we play our D&D characters in like a Lord of the Rings campaign instead?
What if there was like a
fine,
all right,
the Seven Wraithguard rings. Yeah. You're after those now.
We'll see you guys next time. Thank you guys for listening. Please keep paying us because we want to keep making the show. Thank you. We love you.
Goodbye.